Hello, and welcome to Coffee to Close, where we talk to interesting people with passions and pursuits in and around Brisbane, California, that beautiful yet rowdy, fiercely independent town on the border of San Francisco. Our hope is that you will be inspired and that in the process, we will raise some money for our local nonprofits. Sit back and enjoy. I'm your host, Ron Davis.
All right, here we are. Coffee to Close, and I am here today with Monday Motorbikes, founder and chief scientist, Dr. Nathan Joftis, and also I'm here with Michael Giuliano. You guys are making electric bicycles, which I think are very cool. I saw them when they came up, and they just it's like a real statement. I thought, when I first saw one of the first ones, I thought, somebody built that in their garage. Now you've taken on a big, huge, what's become a huge thing. And I'm glad that it's in Brisbane. So we're going to talk about that, talk about why you're in Brisbane and how you ended up here and what do you think about this little enclave, and then maybe some history about both of you guys and what your vision is for the company, what you've done. I hear you're selling bikes in Africa. You got something going on there. So tell us your story.
Yeah, well, my name is Nathan Joftis. I'm the founder and chief scientist at Monday Motorbikes. And one of the cool things about being a founder is that you can pick whatever title you want. But I'm a mechanical engineer. I have a PhD in mechanical engineering, but I also do electronics and software and manufacturing and riding and testing and cleaning the floors. And you know, we all wear a lot of hats at Monday Motorbikes.
A true entrepreneur.
Yeah, and it all started in my, actually, even before we moved into the garage, it started in a shed. I'll tell you all about that. Maybe I'll introduce my COO, Michael Giuliano. He's a really sharp guy, and why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Michael Giuliano, originally a New Yorker, but I come here every week from Cleveland, Ohio, Monday through Friday, and enjoy being part of the team. I started out, ironically, flipping through GQ a couple years ago, and I saw something that I said looked pretty badass, and I tore the page out, put it on my desk. And a few months later, the CEO, Josh Rasmussen, called me and asked me if I wanted to invest in the company. And I said, I have a picture of this on my desk as we're talking. Not only would I like to do that, but I would like to help. And my background, I'm an industrial manufacturing systems engineer, and I have a master's in quantitative analytics. I'm also a big nerd. I like to make and break stuff, but I've launched tons of products, and when I got out of school, I started out at Intel as a microchip engineer, and I worked on some of the original Apple stuff, Xbox stuff, and a bunch of Pentium chips, and then when I was 27, I started my first company, and I've started and sold four so far. Done pretty well, but I like to help people compete at game speed, win, and have fun, and this looked right up my alley. And got on social media, and they were the darling of GQ, TechCrunch magazine, CES, Playboy has them as Sex on Wheels. You see the YouTube stuff with a zillion hits, and you see the guy next to me doing endo wheelies and then getting off and talking about it. And I was just a fan. I told Josh and Nate, hey, just have me out to ride some bikes. I'll help you how I can. And we ended up joining up, and here we are.
Great. So how'd you guys end up in Brisbane?
I've driven by Brisbane literally hundreds, maybe even thousands of times, and I always saw this little nook and just wondered what it was. When we outgrew our 200-square-foot garage, it was time to find a new place. I was fortunate enough to discover Brisbane, and it is an absolute gem. And for Monday Motorbikes, it's a perfect test bed. 40% of the people who want to ride have never been on a motorbike before. They've never twisted a throttle. They've not been on a motorcycle, a scooter, or a four-wheeler. And they look at our bikes and they say, hey, I can do that. But much better than in nice downtown San Francisco, in Brisbane, it's a pretty industrial little nook. And it's a great place to take people out for demo rides, people who've never ridden. There's nice open roads, nice twisties, nice straightaways. It's a brilliant test bed. And also, for a young company, the rent, we found fantastic space for not very much money. It was a win all around.
So how much space do you have? And where are you?
We're at 100 North Hill Drive. We actually now have units 23 and 24. When we graduated from our garage workspace in San Francisco, we picked up unit 23, and it was a 2,000 square foot facility that we didn't know how we'd fill that. 10 times as big as what we came from. And that was our sales, our marketing, our business development, our engineering, our design, manufacturing, demo rights, the list goes on, all happening in the 2,000 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was manufacturing. We were making most of the parts for our motorbikes and doing all of the assembly there. We actually pretty quickly outgrew that spot, and we were fortunate enough to have the spot next door open up. So now we have Unit 23 as our business development, marketing, sort of the softer side of Monday Motorbikes. And then Unit 24 is our dedicated manufacturing and production facility. And that's where our engineering, R&D, production, and assembly all happens.
How long have you actually been selling the bike?
The M1, which is our flagship motorbike. We introduced that in an Indiegogo campaign just about 2 years ago. That was where we debuted it to the world. And it had been a project that I had been working on for 6 years before, over the previous 6 years. It started, it was a hobby, it was nights and weekends, and as the prototypes began to evolve and the product began to mature, I said, hey, I've got to quit my day job, and I've got to focus on this full time. So for the last about 3 years, let's just say I'm looking forward to throttling back to a 100-hour work week, and I've been working for about 2 years at that rate with my co-founder and CEO, Josh Rasmussen.
So when you follow your passion, they say the money follows you. So it's great that you could stop what you were doing to follow that. There's probably a lot of electric motorbike, electric bicycle companies doing kind of similar things, just like electric cars, everything from the Prius to a Tesla, right? Where do you guys feel like you fit in that whole scene?
Well, I can say that the thing that I find myself explaining to most people, so it has to pass my mom's test. If I can't tell my mom, then I don't have it refined. You see the electric bicycles, and those might be like a mountain bike or a 10-speed, and they have some battery on it, and it helps you get around. And then you have 20-something thousand-dollar electric motorcycles that you want to be Ducati or Yamaha rivals. This solves a unique problem. And it doesn't want to be a 600-pound motorcycle that goes 5,000 miles an hour. Definitely does not want to be a little kid bicycle. This gives you probably most of the feel and fun of the full-size bike.
Mm-hmm.
The approachability in terms of physically getting on it to the biggest array of riders, male and female, is based off of one of the most proven, most sold stance of any motorcycle, moped, anything ever existed, which is a Honda Super Cub. You can see somebody that's 5 foot nothing walk right up, not be threatened, and you can see someone 6 foot two, 6 foot three get on. They have the same amount of fun. What this solves is transportation. You're not going to go pick your girlfriend up on a little bicycle. And two, it won't work. And this thing will beat a car up a hill. You could park it on a sidewalk for 20-something cents. You could probably go about 50 miles. It looks very nice, says other people. Not our opinion, but you see the accolades that the design team has earned. And people dig it, and it's a lot of fun.
Looks like fun.
It's so much fun. And we're a team of lifelong motorcycle riders. Some of us lifelong, some of us somewhat new to motorcycles. But as motorcycle riders, we wanted to make a motorbike that we as motorcycle riders were excited about riding, but also something that anybody can ride. So from the experienced lifelong motorcycle riders to the people who've never twisted a throttle, they get on and the reaction is the same. It smiles from ear to ear. I've got duck skin just thinking about it. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
It's pretty cool when you guys roll up to Madhouse Coffee on your bikes and everybody comes around and looking, what is that? What is this? Where is this from?
Yeah.
So what would you say is now your mission statement? Where do you want to go from here? How big do you want to make this? Where do you want to take it?
We're attacking problems associated with urban transportation. There's no better way to get around a city than on an M1. And these are problems that are faced all over the world, not just San Francisco, and not just in the U.S. We really want to be the solution to urban transportation. Cities are not getting any smaller. People are not moving away from the city. They're moving towards the city. The infrastructure, the roads aren't getting any wider. So the problems that exist today are only getting worse. And, you know, it's no surprise that around the world, two-wheelers are really the solution for urban transport. You know, I'm a motorcycle rider. I know that it's a great way to get around. But while other countries around the world have kind of figured out that two-wheelers are the way, the U.S. is just only now starting to catch on. And we want to be the leader of that. You know, there's so much that we can do with our platform and with the technology that we're developing, but we wanted to start with something that, like I said, that we are excited about riding, that also solves real problems.
The parking problem has caused me to be inside of an Uber more, even here. It used to be just when I went on business trips, I'd take Uber here and there, but now I'm finding out I had to go like do a jam night in Bernal Heights, $5, I don't have to park. Bernal is terrible to park, right? I can go there, I can have a little more fun, come back, you know, back and forth. And if you've ever sat in a cab in Manila or Istanbul or Tokyo, you know, bicycles are just whizzing by you while you're sitting there.
I mean, heck, people who are walking are whizzing by you when you're sitting in traffic.
So I think the reason here we haven't got it, because we're not quite to the traffic crunch that we will be in a few years when they finish building out everything around here. Where the traffic, normal traffic, is just going to slow down, and everything's going to become a lot more local. If you can get it done, right, like right now, in our marketplace, we're seeing a lot more Genentech and a lot more scientists coming from over across the way, checking out Brisbane, because to go down to San Mateo even is getting to be a drive.
Absolutely.
And I used to work in offices in San Mateo, Burlingame, come back and forth every night. I wouldn't do that now. Just too many cars on the road.
Well, you briefly mentioned Uber, and something that we have a direct line to, the generation right now, the younger generation, they're multimodal. So there are a lot of people in these dense cities, they don't own a car. They take an Uber, they take a Lyft, they use electric transport of some sort. This fits in exactly what they want. So something from the engineering and production side that I'm proud of, and am a fan, was first a fan of, but then talks a talk and walks a walk, is Dr. J here has designed a bike with his ears and not his eyes. So he listened to what people want, solved a very, very known problem, and did a hell of a good job of it. And then visually, Playboy called it sex on wheels, so I don't know a bigger compliment than that. GQ had it as stuff of the year. It's nice when your mom says something nice and it goes on the fridge, but when these guys start saying it, that means you're doing the right thing. And the global reach has been tremendous. There's an appetite here, obviously. We plan to deliver soon. And tomorrow morning, both of us are going to Shanghai. And they have a few people over there that are interested as well. They have 3-4 times as many people, and we think it'll be popular there, India. So we do have a global fan base, global reach, and I think, I really know that Nathan did a spot-on job, and the response has been overwhelming so far.
Are you going over there with one? You bring one with you?
There's actually one already over there.
Yeah?
There was a time that there were two over there. Now there's one. And we've learned over the years that while we can do anything, we don't want to get caught up doing everything. And there are certain things that only we can do. So we try to have extra help on the things that other people can do. So if someone can make me a plastic brick that has a few holes in it, I'll let them do it, because we're the guys doing the design work, the mechanical, the electrical, the software. And this is all happening under one roof. And it all started from things that We were doing it all under one roof. Vacuum forming parts, CNC'd parts. We were doing it all under one roof. So it was really quite exciting. And by keeping things under one roof, we can iterate faster than anybody out there. We're not getting parts made by someone else that we have to get a quote and then pay through the nose to get a next week part. So it really sped up the development time, and some of the tools that we have, 3D printers, CNC mills, all these kinds of things allow us to just iterate very quickly.
That's very cool. It's very close to the source, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
But when you can take it, scale it, which is what you're going to have to do because they've got quite a few billion people on the earth here that could use one, right?
Absolutely.
You have to scale somehow, right?
Yep.
So it's cool that you're not so attached to it that you can't let it be built or scale it out.
Well, we need to address that demand, and we're well aware that and proud that we're able to build and manufacture current state here in Brisbane. And what I'm also pretty proud of is you watch the national news talk about manufacturing and jobs and tech and everything. We're in the most expensive zip codes in the country, in San Francisco. We're manufacturing a vehicle, electric, and that's all done here. All our stuff is from here. And we're able to satisfy the demand here domestically, but concurrently, there's an appetite in Asia, and we're going to set up sister operation over there. People want to buy there. We got to be able to have our lemonade stand over there as well, too. So we're growing smart. People want it here. They're going to get the stuff from here. People in Asia that want it there will have a presence there. Ideally, maybe step 3 and 4 will be Europe and India, not necessarily in that order, but where there's an appetite, we're going to put it there and feed whoever's hungry.
So a few years ago, I made a goal to go to 10 new countries in the next 10 years. And I think I've knocked out 6 in the last four years. But I ended up going back to the Philippines because I had such a great time in Boracay. So I went to Boracay and I went back like 2 years later. Somehow didn't feel the same, but I was amazed that in 2 years, how many of those tuk-tuks became electric and how many bigger electric vehicles they had running up and down the taxis and whatever on that little island. It's almost like you have to really get going on this and get that manufacturing around there, right? I mean, set up different shops to do what you're doing here, like clone what you're doing here and put it in other places so you're not shipping things all over the world, right? Is that it?
That's exactly right.
So what's happening in Africa? I had the story of Africa, but I haven't all the details. And what's going on there?
Yeah, we actually just signed for a pilot program with an agricultural company that is currently in one of their 33 locations. They have 750 gas motorcycles, 125cc gas motorcycles, that the fuel savings alone by using our electric motorbikes will pay for our motorbikes in 2 years. It's huge. Also, historically gas...
For what kind of use, though?
Agricultural, on farms, so that they can get around to the crops. They can use it for local transportation. And some of the cool technology that we're developing is our cloud connectivity and our fleet management. So unlike most, if not all, gas motorcycles out there, for example, I have a few motorcycles. One of them is a Honda. Honda has no idea who has ever owned, who has ever ridden, what the use cases are, how to detect if they're abused or misused. And some of the cloud connectivity that we're developing allows fleet management, that owners of the companies and the fleet managers, they'll be able to track and monitor the health of the bikes, do predictive maintenance, things like geofencing, where if someone goes out of bounds where they shouldn't be, right? Where if they shouldn't be somewhere, now they know and they can shut it off. They can get a text message saying, hey, bike number 650 is where it shouldn't be.
Isn't that like that movie I bought? Isn't the robot movie?
It very well could be.
Shut it down. I think it'd make a great police bike.
Absolutely. We actually have been talking with Brisbane PD. Those guys love what we're doing. They're big supporters of what we're doing. And, when you look at existing police force today, you have, of course, patrol cars. You have bicycle police. You have guys and gals on motorcycles. The bicycle police are only going maybe 14, 15 miles a day. That's what we've learned. And there are only a few officers who can actually ride a motorcycle because you need a license for them. On our motorbikes, you can go faster and farther than any bicycle, that's for sure. And on an M1, because it doesn't require a license or registration, anybody in the police force, almost anybody anyways, can ride our motorbikes. That's a big thing. It's clean, it's green, it's low maintenance, and you can go as far as you need to go in a day, that's for sure.
Great. So if somebody wants to check out more, what's the website? Where do we go?
MondayMotorbikes.com.
MondayMotorbikes.com.
Yeah.
And that'll be in the show notes, too. If you check the show notes on coffeetoclose.com, we'll have the website and any other information to get in contact here. And you're going to want to come out to Brisbane and take a test drive.
Absolutely.
And check it out. Go up and down some of these hills around here.
We'd love to have any of our listeners come by. It's an awesome experience. And we love to share our passion for two wheels with people who like cool things.
What about a straight up email address for any of you guys?
Yeah, you can email me directly, Nate, N-A-T-E, at MondayMotorbikes.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Cool. And Michael, you got any parting thoughts?
This is the answer. Come ride it.
Come ride it. All right. Well, you know, it's been great. You know, all the time I've been wanting to have you guys in here, it took 10 episodes, 10 or 11 episodes here to get to this point. My goal is 50, by the way, 50 episodes. I'm donating $100 per episode to a local charity. And so that's what I'll be doing now here. Do you guys have anything attached to your company or anything you're doing? What's your passion?
Environmental consciousness, environmental awareness. That's one of the driving factors for what we're doing. Actually inspired by Al Gore and Inconvenient Truth, you know, the importance of reducing our carbon footprint and just being more aware of the environment and doing it in a fun and sexy way.
All right. So how about Mountain Watch? Does that sound like a good one for today? We'll give $100 to Mountain Watch for this episode.
Sounds great.
And good. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
I had a great time talking with you. My beer is empty here, so I think yours might be too. So
I'm almost there.
I think we're done.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. We'll see you guys around town.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Coffee to Close. Coffee to Close is a fundraiser for our local nonprofits and charities in Brisbane. And I will be donating $100 per episode to one of the charities or nonprofits in town. Coffee to Close is also sponsored by Davis & Company Real Estate. You can find us at rondavis.com and Madhouse Coffee, which is madhousecoffee.com. Both are located in Uptown Brisbane at the top of the main business district on Visitation Avenue at 400 Visitation. Come pay us a visit. We'd love to see you.